starting to become like scared of certain things, like shadows. When we turn the lights off in his room, he's got like a little nightlight, so he sees his stuffed animals and like their little ears. The shadows on the wall kind of scare him, and so he'll call us back in there, and he'll say, you know, Daddy, what is this? What's that? And I'm like, it's a shadow, and we'll hold up our hands and try to walk him through it. And then one day he said, this was maybe 2 weeks ago, he said, Daddy, there's a bat in my room. There's a bat in my room. And I was like, what is he talking about? So I go in there, and he has these Batman toys with a bat signal, like on the side of, on one of them. And I was like, where's this bat? And he points to it, and I was like, oh, it's just a toy. And we, you know, walk through, you know, it's just pretend, it's not a real bat. But he kept kind of wrestling around with it for several nights. And then, I don't know, I just felt like God was telling me, let's tackle this from a different angle. And we do memory verses at night before bedtime. And one of them is Psalm 56:3. It's real simple. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. So I said, Harrison, let's pretend. Let's say that you notice or you're afraid that there's a bat in your room. What can you do? And he was like, I don't know. I said, you can say, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. And he was like, okay. And so we practiced that. And that was a couple nights ago. And then I guess it was yesterday morning, I woke up to the sound of him talking. And he had said, I could tell he had been up for a few minutes, and he was just kind of talking to himself. But he said, now I know it's a pretend bat. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. And like it warmed my heart. I was like, yeah, he's getting it. Before he was aware of it, I mean, he knew it was pretend, but it was just kind of head knowledge. It hadn't really sunken deeper into like heart knowledge. He had acted on it, and it became heart knowledge. So what we're going to be talking about today is listening and doing. We're going to start in James chapter 1, starting in verse 19. So if you'll turn in your Bible to James chapter 1, verse 19. And we'll go through the end of the chapter. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes to see what you want us to see in your word today? Would you speak to us directly? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the first thing we're going to do is just jump right in with verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear. We're going to talk about three different types of listening. And the first one is listening to others. Would you say that you're a good listener? Would your spouse say that you're a good listener? Would your kids say that you're a good listener? Would your parents, would other people say that you are a good listener? And maybe we might answer sometimes, depending on who we're talking to, depending on what mood we're in. It's interesting how many arguments get started up and kind of get flared up because we're not really listening that well. We're kind of half listening. Have you ever done this where you're hearing someone talk, but you're listening, but you're really thinking more ahead of like what you're getting ready to say next? You're not really listening, you're just thinking ahead of what you're getting ready to say, and especially if it's an argument, you're like a rebuttal, almost like you're in court. That's not listening very well. And so many times this leads to misunderstandings. How many of you have ever been in an argument with someone and then like halfway through the argument you realize there was some kind of misunderstanding like way back at the beginning that led to this whole like misunderstanding and argument, and then once you clear it up, oh no, I didn't mean that, I meant this, or they clear it up, then it's like, oh, it's not even an argument anymore. Because we weren't listening very well. It says be quick to hear, be quick to listen. Do I wait till the end of an argument to start listening well, or do I start listening right at the beginning? Now, I am finding it humorous because the times that I have had the opportunity to preach, the Lord has given me a message that is for me because I am not good at this. I struggle in this area. So I please hear me. I am not saying this from a standpoint of, oh, I got this figured out. This is something that I wrestle with, is listening well, listening well. This whole verse, being slow to speak, that's the next part. Well, let me say this first. When we listen well to others, that's another way of saying being present with someone. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. If I'm half listening, I'm not really there. My mind is kind of somewhere else. And I think we need to be better listeners than that. I think I need to be a better listener and be present with people. Slow to speak. Slow to speak. Maybe you're the kind of person who tends to be very reactive instead of responding. You know, when we respond, we think about what we're going to say, and we respond with wisdom. When we're reactive, then it's just kind of like whatever our emotions are kind of feeling in that moment. And sometimes that can be really hurtful to the other person. Maybe being slow to speak is more on this side. Maybe you're a fixer. You love to fix people and fix their solution or fix their problems. So as soon as they have an issue, you jump right in and say, oh, here's the solution. You need to do this. You just need to do this. And can I just be honest? We need to be careful of that in the church. In small group settings, it's easy when someone shares to completely skip the listening and just come up with a Sunday school answer. Oh, just do this. Just pray more. Rather than truly listening, being present with them, and then sharing maybe a truth of God's word. But if we jump straight to that, most of the time it's not going to be received well. And then the part that always gets me, slow to anger. Are you quick-tempered? Are you quick-tempered? Are you hot-headed? There's a verse that's been really helpful for me. I encourage you to jot it down. Maybe you can read it later. I'll read it to you now. It's Proverbs 14:29. Proverbs 14:29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. So the part that's really been helpful for me is that great understanding. I've gotten better about listening to what is being said, but I'm just now realizing I need to listen to why they said it. So here's an example. Let's say someone in your family comes home from school or from work and they're in a bad mood and they're really short with you. And I'm listening and you're listening to them and you're actually trying to listen well, but you get kind of ticked off because they're in a bad mood. You kind of just feeds it, you know? So instead of doing that and responding back in anger to their frustration, maybe if we stopped and thought, wait, why are they in a bad mood? Maybe they had a bad day at school. Maybe they were bad day at work. Maybe the AC is out and they're just hot because it's summer and it's hot. Like, we don't have AC in our car, and there's days when I get home and I'm drenched, I'm not in the greatest of moods. And it's not because of anything else, but just because I'm hot. But if I come home and Casey, you know, like, it doesn't take the second to stop and think maybe why or vice versa, then all of a sudden we get into an argument over nothing just because we didn't think, well, oh, they're probably just uncomfortable, you know? So why is the person upset? Why is the person acting in that way? Okay, so that's one type of listening. That's the type of listening I'm most familiar with. I want to talk about, kind of shift gears a little bit, and let's talk about a different type of listening. One that I had never really seen in this passage before. When I've read it, I've always thought, oh, be quick to listen to each other. But as I was studying this, I felt like God was sharing with me something new to see. Am I quick to listen to God? Am I quick to listen to God? Are we quick to listen to God's word in particular? Are we quick to listen to God's word? We have a tendency to get angry because we don't listen to God's word, or maybe we forget God's word. So let's say I'm in an argument with someone, or in a discussion, and let's say they're just in a bad mood, and I'm trying to make them happy. And they're just in a bad mood, and I'm trying to like people please. What I've done is I've forgotten. I'm trying to earn their approval, or make them happy, so that I feel good about myself. When in reality, I've forgotten that I already have Christ's approval. So I've, in a sense, it's like I've made them God for a moment. I'm saying, I'm expecting you to love me perfectly. I'm expecting you to love me unconditionally, just like God does. But when they don't, because they're human, then I get frustrated. I get angry. Know this, my beloved brothers, the very first part we read, that's our identity. We're beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. We're beloved. That means we are loved by God. Brothers and sisters, we are the family of God. We're children of God. That's our identity. I don't have to be a people pleaser. You don't have to be a people pleaser. We can be friendly and kind and compassionate to one another, but we don't have to try to earn their approval, like for our own value and identity. So, listen to God's word. Verse 20, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. What does your anger produce? Oh, well, that was righteous anger. Well, what does righteous anger produce? Because my anger produces strife, frustration, disconnection with others. It saps my peace. It saps my joy. Maybe your anger is righteous, but I don't think mine is. What's the fruit of your anger? Therefore, verse 21, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Have you ever done this? You get upset and then you say something in your mind or maybe even out loud. Well, if they're going to act that way, then I'm just going to go do this. If she's going to treat me like that, then I'm just going to go do this. If he's not going to treat me right, then I'm just going to go buy this. We do silly things, is a nice way of putting it, when we're angry, if we're not careful. Maybe you're angry at God. God, I wanted this, and you didn't give it to me, so this is now how I'm just going to live my life. Are you angry at God? Be doers of the word, and not hearers only. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only. So we can read the Bible, and we can gain head knowledge, kind of like I referred to earlier. And head knowledge is okay, but it's not the goal. Heart knowledge is the goal. And how do we get it from the head down to the heart? We put it into practice. We put it into practice. So this part right here, I want to read this again because it's a little confusing. Verse 23 and 24. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. What he was like. So I think that what that's saying is we look in the mirror. The mirror is God's word. And we see the truth about who we are. We read, oh, I'm a beloved child of God. And that sounds great. Jesus loves me. And it's here in my head. But if I don't put it into practice, it normally doesn't make it down into my heart. Heart knowledge. So like in verse 25, it says, the one who looks into the law of liberty and perseveres. If it's only head knowledge, then when that trial comes, you won't be able to persevere because it's not in your heart. Jesus talks about this, very familiar parable, Matthew 7, 24 and 26. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. And then down a verse or two later, he says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Both people heard it. Are you catching that? Both people heard the word of the Lord. One did it and could persevere through the trial. One didn't and couldn't persevere. So when we put it into practice, that's when it becomes that heart knowledge. So here's an example. There's a lie that I used to hear a lot in my head. For years, especially right after college, I was saved, but I was just really struggling with a lot of stuff. And the lie I started to hear was, you're not really a Christian. No Christian really struggles with this. No Christian does this. And it took me a long time to realize that that's definitely not God's voice. That's the devil speaking lies to me. So I learned I had to fight back. What do I fight back with? the Word of God. I had to remind myself and find passages that counteracted that lie. So like Romans 8, 1, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're hearing lies that you must not even be a Christian because you did this, use that word, use that scripture, Romans 8, 1. It's the same thing that we did with Harrison. We found out he was afraid, so we found verses that made sense. That kind of counteracted what to do when you feel afraid. Psalm 56:3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. If you feel worried, 1 Peter 5:7, cast your anxieties onto him because he cares for you. We know a lot of these scriptures, but actually, are we actually doing it in the moment? Or are we just believing the lie, believing whatever the devil throws at us, letting ourselves just be attacked? I think Jesus wants us to fight back. I think this is a call to action. We have the victory through Christ, and he's given us armor, the armor of God. So we don't have to sit there and take it. And I can't tell you how many times I've sat there and taken it. I have listened to it and not done anything about it. And I'm kind of tired of that for myself. I'm ready to move forward. I don't want to sit there and continue to believe a lie. The devil wants us to be ineffective for Christ. And memorizing scripture but never actually doing anything with it is like being a sword collector but never going out to battle. I'm tired of collecting swords. I want to go out there and fight. It's not in my power. That's not what I'm trying to say. But Christ has given us his armor, and the only offensive weapon in the armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, I tried to resist the devil, but, you know, the temptation came back, so I just gave in. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I know that verse. I use that a lot. One thing that I am learning is this. Let's say you were in a battle with somebody, just a normal battle, a human battle, and you both had swords. If you took one jab or slice, would you expect to win that battle with one slice? Or if you had a gun, maybe it's easier to think of it this way. Would you expect to win a war with one bullet? You literally shot one bullet and okay, war's over. No, there's a contending. There's a battle. So Jesus resisted the devil 3 times before the devil left. So if I say, oh, I resisted once, and then the devil didn't leave, I guess I just have to sit there and take it. No, just keep resisting. Like it says back in James, the one who looks into the law of liberty and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. Act on the word. So what I'm saying is when you hear the lies, fight back with God's word. Fight back with God's word. Just like, I'll put it this way. Ephesians 6, it's the passage that Paul talks about the armor of God. We're pretty familiar with like the belt of truth and all the like the different pieces. But right up before that, he says a verse that's been really meaningful for me. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That word wrestle, the Greek for that word, means wrestle. It's not just like a one and done thing, okay? Think of it, the Roman, Greco-Roman wrestling, you know, like not like on TV wrestling, but I mean like collegiate wrestling where they're like all grappling each other, pushing each other into the ground. I wrestled for a year. I get that now. There's not just like a one time and takedown and the match is over. There's a wrestling that goes on. We have the victory, so hear me on that. We have the victory, but there's still a contending. There's still a wrestling. There's still a resisting. And Paul is writing this to Christians. Why would he say wrestle if it's just a one and done kind of thing? Because he recognizes that there is a kingdom of God and there is a kingdom of darkness and there is a battle going on and the victory has been won, but there is still a contending that we have to do. In that chapter, it says, having done all to stand or to stand firm, stand your ground is what that means to me. You're going to feel pushback from the devil. So we need to stand our ground. I'm not saying this to you. I'm saying this to me, all right? This is, I hope you don't hear this as a condemnation, because that's a lie from the devil. I'm not condemning you. I'm inviting you. God is inviting us. Be doers of the word, who act on it, not just hearers. Act on God's word. Okay, back in James, verse 26. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. What's the bridle used for? To steer a horse, right? To control it, to steer it. What happens if you don't steer a horse? It just does whatever it wants to do, right? If we don't steer our tongue, it's going to go the way of our flesh or the devil. So we have to intentionally steer it. No. Let's go towards the good path. The words that we speak are very important. And it even says that we can deceive ourselves, deceive our hearts. If we're speaking things in agreement, I guess you could say, with the lies that we hear, like the lie I mentioned earlier, I guess I'm not a Christian. Because, man, this sin is bad or whatever lie it is. If I start to kind of submit to that and start to speak that, I'm going to start deceiving my own heart from the truth, and I'll start believing that lie. So what do? We speak it out intentionally, speak out God's truth. The same thing that we did with Harrison. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Now, the first time you say it, it's probably not going to feel like it's down here. But over time, the more we speak it out loud, the more it comes down from here to here. If we're doing it in the moment, that putting it into practice, that's how it becomes heart knowledge. That's how we can persevere. So the next point is speak the truth of God's word. Another way of saying that, speak in a way that draws you closer to the Lord, not pulls you away from the Lord. And something I want to point out is we speak it out loud. When Jesus was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness, did he think it is written or did he say it was written? Have you ever noticed that? He says it out loud. It's just him and the devil, but he's saying it out loud. There's something very powerful with our words. We can resist the devil in our mind, for sure. But I have found, if I'm hearing a lie, it goes away quicker if I speak out loud God's truth. And I declare it. There's something important about speaking it out loud. All right, and then the third type of listening. We talked about listening well to others, listening to God's word. Now we're going to talk about listening for the Holy Spirit, like in the moment. God definitely speaks to us in his word, but he also speaks to us today in this moment through his Holy Spirit. Are you listening for the Holy Spirit? Now, I'll just be honest. This is newer for me. There's been a lot of my Christian life where I've not even paid attention to in the moment kind of stuff. Occasionally I'll notice it. I think just by the mercy of God, he'll be like, you know, hey, pay attention. But it was not because I was being intentional. It was just him, you know, catching my attention. So I'm starting to realize I have to be intentional to slow down and say, okay, Lord, I'm here. I'm standing next to these people. Is there something you want to say to them through me? Is there something you want me to do? Are you wanting to minister to that person through me? And I have learned that the phrase that has been really meaningful for me is, Lord, I make myself available to whatever it is you want to do. I'm not going to try to force something or muster something up that's kind of really my own thoughts or my own desires, but I'm available to whatever it is you want me to do. Let's say I had a friend, and I came up to my friend and I said, hey, man, I heard this wonderful message from God today. And he was like, oh, that's great. That's great. What was the message? And then I was like, oh, you see that lady back there? God said, go back to that lady and tell her that Jesus loves you and then offer to pray for her. And then my friend's like, oh, that's awesome. How did she respond? How did it go? And then I was like, oh, I didn't do it. But isn't it great that I heard this message from the Lord? I mean, what would we say if we're that friend? Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that's great, but like, He's calling you to action. He's calling you to do something. Hearing from God's word and even hearing from the Holy Spirit in the moment is great. But if we don't do anything with it, we're missing it. You see what I'm saying? Like, this is not a, oh man, we're missing it. We're terrible. I'm just saying, like, oh, we're missing an opportunity for blessing. It's an invitation. Think about it this way. Christ is the head of the church. We are the body. We are the body of Christ. Paul talks about that, where Christ is the head. Think about it from just like a natural standpoint. Your head controls your body. I don't pick up this microphone with my head. My head tells my body, my hand, to hold the microphone. Christ is the head. We are the body. He wants to work through us. He doesn't have to. He wants to. When I'm picking up a box or my guitar, if you've ever seen me walk in with my guitar and Harrison is carrying it, I don't need physical strength or help to help have him carry it, but I know it blesses his heart when he gets to help out. Christ wants to bless our hearts, and he's inviting us. Do you want to help carry my guitar? If he said no, or, you know, like he would be missing out on the blessing for him. Like, I'm so strong, you know? That's not like a perfect analogy, but the point I'm getting at is God wants to use us. And too many times I've thought, well, God, you're going to just do whatever you're going to do. So I just pray that your will be done. And I think I've missed, like, no, God wants to use me. God wants to use you to bless other people. Last thing, and we'll wrap up. Think of Jesus when he fed the 5,000 with the loaves and the fish. What did he do? He gave thanks. He broke the bread and the loaves. And then what did he do next? He gave it to the disciples. And the disciples gave it to the people. He didn't have to do that. He could have just given it straight to the people. But he said, give it to the people. He gave it to them to give to the people. Why? Because the people receiving it were able to receive that blessing from Jesus. But also the people delivering it were able to receive a blessing from Jesus. When I go and I pray for someone, or we go and pray for someone, it's not us that is the gift. I'm not the gift. I'm the delivery boy. I'm FedEx for Jesus. Here's your package. I hope you love it because I've loved giving it to you. Right? It's not about us. It's about him, pointing the attention to him. We just need to be available to deliver the package, deliver the message. Offer to pray for someone. If we feel led to pray, offer to pray for someone. Even if you don't know what you're supposed to pray about, God will tell us. I believe God will tell us. Are we listening? Let's be a people who listen well to others. That is definitely part of it. But let's be a people who listen well to God through his word. Because God gives us instructions through his word to follow. And it's an invitation. And in the moment, his Holy Spirit gives us an invitation. Are we listening? If we are, let's do what he invites us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are not a God who condemns us. You said in your word, Jesus said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. So Lord, this is not us feeling bad about the times that we may have missed it. This is us realizing you are excited to invite us to a fresh opportunity, even today. Moving forward, we don't have to feel bad about it if we've missed it in the past. You've forgiven us all our sins, past and present and future. So Lord, I just pray that we would be encouraged and be stirred up to not just be a hearer of your word, but to be someone who does your word and acts on it. When we feel that lie, or we feel that condemnation, that we respond with your word in the moment. And when we feel you prompting us to go talk to someone, or to share something with someone, or to just be with someone, and to be in their presence and be present with them, may we do that, Lord. Because you are wanting to bless that person, and you are also wanting to bless us. We thank you that you are a good God. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.